The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I'm going insane here. I'm trying to make sense of every one of your newscasts, Ursula. And this...
Was this something in the way I delivered them?
No, your newscasts are beautifully crafted and delivered. But the content, the nuts that we have to deal with around here, I feel like this pinnacle of sanity in a sea of insanity. And so let me get this straight. From your newscast, I'm just pulling up information on
Okay,
this.
Yes.
So Inslee had his State of the State address this morning.
Yes.
The lieutenant governor of the state of Washington, whose job is to preside at the governor's address.
Right.
Okay. And by the way, the lieutenant governor of Washington does nothing else. It is maybe the most useless political position. You know what he does? He goes to school. And that's it. I mean, it's a useless position. In fact, there was a guy who ran for lieutenant governor a few years ago. I don't remember who it was. But his entire platform in the voter's guide is, if you elect me lieutenant governor, the first thing I will do is eliminate the position of lieutenant governor in Washington.
Well, they have to preside as governor when the governor is absent.
Yeah, but they don't take over as governor if something happens to the governor. It's not like a vice president. And
actually, upon the death, conviction, impeachment, or resignation of the governor, the lieutenant governor would become governor for the remainder of the term.
For the remainder of the term?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's okay. That's all they do. I thought, really?
And in the event, I'm just reading it right now.
Okay, it's still useless. But let's get to today's news. So our lieutenant governor, Cyrus Habib, refused to do his job today to preside at the governor's address because he felt vulnerable in the House chamber because you're allowed to bring guns, concealed weapons, into public galleries at the state capitol. The reason for that is because there were legal challenges. There was an attempt a couple of years ago to ban people carrying guns on the Capitol campus, and it turned out to be a violation of state constitutional rights. You know why? Because if somebody wants to carry a weapon while they're walking from their car to the Capitol campus, if they don't want to be a crime victim, if somebody jumps out and tries to attack them, you're free in our state and in our country to carry a gun. And so it got a huge court challenge, and they said, well, there's no way that somebody, the second they step off the Capitol campus, can suddenly have their gun. And so to ban them, for somebody who has some official business to do in the state capitol, to ban guns would be a violation of the Constitution. It would simply be unconstitutional. So Cyrus Habib refused to do his job today. And here's what the quote: there's no specific threat to me. There's no specific threat we know of, period. It's about the policy. The policy being the state constitution. As lieutenant governor, he swore to uphold the state constitution, and then he refuses to do his job today because he doesn't like that one part of the state constitution? So his office released a statement 2 hours before the State of the State speech this morning that said, safety protocol could not be agreed upon between the House and Senate for the State of the State ceremony. Given that the ceremony takes place in the House chamber, deference goes to House leadership to follow their protocol.
Do you see who took the duty today then?
Oh, our buddy John Lovick. John Lovick, because he's Speaker Pro Tem. So he presided over the State of the State speech. I'm amazed at this. I'm amazed that something that is a result of our state constitution and a guy who swears to uphold the state constitution says, well, I'm not going to do my job today, which is, again, one of the only things he does unless something happens to the gov. But I find all of this insane. And before I get to the big lead, can we touch on one other thing? So we had a big debate last hour about this Gillette commercial and masculinity, femininity, traditional roles. Did you hear about what happened with the president last night? The big controversy with the president.
Was it the hamburger thing?
Well, yeah. First of all, everybody's ridiculing them because they had Burger King and Wendy's and McDonald's. And they said, yeah, wait, the Clemson football team gets to come to the White House. Why aren't you feeding them? Well, it's because all the cooking staff is furloughed.
Right.
So Trump out of his own pocket.
So at least they got food.
Yeah, Trump bought him a bunch of burgers and everybody seemed to have a good time. But here is what Trump said that, you know, his wife offered to do before these football players, the Clemson National Champion football team, came over.
Wow, what a group. Look at that quarterback. Oh, I want to be the agent of that tall, handsome quarterback, huh? 6'7". They say great athlete, and he's accurate. That's nice. Great job. And so I had a choice. Do we have no food for you? Because we have a shutdown. Or do we give you some little quick salads that the first lady will make along with the second lady? They'll make some salads. And I said, you guys aren't into salads. Or do I go out, Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, do I go out and send out for about 1,000 hamburgers, Big Macs? So we actually did. We bought 1,000 Burger King, All America companies, Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's.
Okay, so that's it. Okay,
what was the problem?
Oh, you didn't hear?
That he said that Melania might put together some salads?
Yeah.
What was the big deal about that?
Oh, Ursula.
See, that's what I mean. It's like, why does it have to be so extreme?
Well, first of all, that was fact-checked by a USA Today writer when he said that he got 1,000 hamburgers because Trump last night said it was a great event with Clemson football. Got him 1,000 hamburgers, would have been a mile high. You know, could have piled him a mile high. And a USA Today writer on Twitter this morning said, well, there weren't 1,000 hamburgers there, and the average hamburger is 2 inches thick. It wouldn't be close to a mile high. Yeah, so they fact-checked that by the president. But then on CNN today, they had a panel, including Joan Walsh and Aaron Burnett. And here's what they said. Again, because the president said that Melania and the second lady, who is Mike Pence's wife, that they offered to make salads for the Clemson football
team. He doesn't say they offered, but he doesn't say they didn't offer.
Yeah.
We don't know the circumstances.
So, yeah, we could have had Melania and the second lady make salads, or I could go buy a bunch of burgers
Maybe
for you.
He just doesn't trust his own salad-making skills.
So your question is, who cares?
Yes.
CNN, fake news, leftist media, they care passionately about this, Ursula.
That's appalling. It seems to me like the president will not be happy until there is not one single female Republican voter in the country. It's incredibly sexist. It also, I mean, I don't know why I'm stuck on this, but Yvonne.
Oh, I do. Because you're insane. Because you are part of a deranged group of our society.
Ivanka is not the second lady. She is actually, I don't think she deserves this position.
Okay, first of all.
Oh, so.
Trump said, my wife and the first lady and the second lady, meaning Mike Pence's wife.
And he looks at Mike when he says
it. He points to Mike Pence.
So how did Ivanka even get in there?
Moron, this idiot woman on CNN. She goes, and Ivanka isn't even the second lady, which isn't
even
close to what Trump said, but she has conjured up in this. In this toxic brew of bile that's in the minds of the radical fake news left, the insanity
or that one particular
that grips
person
them.
On CNN.
But Ivanka is not the second lady. She is actually, I don't think she deserves this position. She's actually a senior advisor to the president. So the idea that he would demean her specifically in that way,
goodness.
He shouldn't talk about the first lady that way. We aren't all here to make salads for men. It's disgusting.
I mean, I'm presuming he was talking about Karen Pence when he said second lady.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, maybe your entire premise is based on idiocy and your co-host actually had the nerve to point out that part of it was, but she doesn't correct the rest of your insanity.
I mean, I'm presuming he was talking about Karen Pence when he said second lady.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, I'm presuming.
And then she takes the Lord's name in vain to compound it.
be doing it either.
But I mean, Scott, look.
That's crazy.
This is one of those things where sometimes what people say when they're being funny exposes exactly who they are and what they think. Not that there was any question, but this is pretty clear.
I can't believe what's going on anymore. That's insane. These women on CNN are insane.
I mean, call out sexism when it's true sexism. Because two women happen to be helping, you know, your wives happen to be helping out with making salads while you're busy.
Yeah, maybe the president of the United States of America isn't going to be back in the kitchen during a furlough making salads, and his wife offered to. And that turns into a panel discussion on CNN.
Oh, no.
And you know, I don't think Trump was joking around. It sounded... You pulled the cut, didn't it?
Yes. No, he's not trying to tell a joke.
He's just
telling a
story.
It was labeled as a joke. And it's not just CNN that did this. There's multiple stories about the salad comment. And they do label it as joke, and he was not making a joke.
Then
when he says, or we could go out, and he pointed or he identified two people that would go with him to get the burger. So it sounds like they had a discussion.
Yeah.
Melania was like, I can make salads. Or they were like, we could go get burgers. And they said, we'll go get burgers.
I mean, listen again, just his tone of voice.
6'7", they say great athlete, and he's accurate. That's nice. Great job. And so I had a choice. Do we have no food for you? Because we have a shutdown. Or do we give you some little quick salads that the first lady will make along with the second lady? They'll make some salads. And I said, you guys aren't into salads. Or do I go out, Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, do I go out and send out for about 1,000 hamburgers?
There you go. That becomes a panel discussion in today's world. And look, if he's 100% serious, would there be anything wrong? When I was a kid, Ursula, growing up at Calvary Lutheran Church in Ballard, we had the ladies of the church. They had an organization. They would make, whenever we'd have something in the fireside room, they would make the food, and it wasn't a horrible, awful, despicable,
They enjoyed it. It didn't keep them from doing anything else. Yeah, no, that's...
Okay.
This is much ado about nothing.
So,
on their part,
can we agree that maybe things are getting out of control?
In that particular instance, you pointed out a good one. That's out of control.
Oh my goodness! Save this clip, Nicole. Save this for the year-end awards.
Awesome audio.
Oh, might be my favorite. Jeez, things have gotten insane, and it wasn't, like Nicole pointed out, it wasn't just CNN. It was all over Twitter from media, blue check media people who were trying to make this out to be some horrible sexist
thing. But you know what I think a lot of times what happens is they don't even watch it, and they just assume because now CNN's done it, and now they share it and share it and share it, and then it becomes this thing, and only people are reading the headline.
I think we have gone insane, and I think we're going to hell. I really do. You don't agree with that?
I definitely do not agree with that.
Toxic masculinity, this nonsense. I think we're going to hell here right now. Here's something else Trump talked about, the fast food.
I don't know if the weather changes things.
Oh, that was at the helicopter.
Now, what's your favorite thing here, Mr. President?
I like it all. It's all good stuff. Great American food.
Yeah. So he was just selling what he bought for the boys. Oh, I'm sorry. I called Clemson football players boys. Oh, I hope that the radicals don't come after me for that. I mean, for the people who play football for Clemson University. Can't have genders. Can't have anything. Okay, finally, Ursula just left the studio. She was so disgusted with agreeing with me on something. Okay, here, let's go. Jeez, I got a tiny bit left in the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
So, Jay Inslee, after the lieutenant governor was afraid to do his job today because of the state constitution. Jay Inslee did deliver the state of the state speech. And I played for you the climate change cuts earlier. Here's a little bit more on that.
These policies will steeply cut emissions, the equivalent of taking about 3 million cars off of our roads. This transformation has started, but we need to do...
Okay, he wants to tax us billions of dollars to take the equivalent of 3 million cars off the roads. How many car equivalents are your flights to run for president all around the country? How many car equivalents so that your director of climate change, who is over in Europe and wanted to commute here to Washington State because his wife had a teaching job over there? Oh, and she made a salad for him once, too, over there. But how many car equivalents was that? No, it's just us. We got to pay billions of dollars. Hey, how about those whales, by the way?
These policies will steeply cut emissions. The equivalent of taking about...
The whale cut's the same as the climate cut there.
Oh, no.
I know. That happens once in a while. I talked at the beginning of the show.
I got it.
That we have hundreds of thousands of illegals here in King County. That's my estimate. We're not allowed to actually have any access to data because we're a sanctuary county. And I said, look, if we did something about that, we could take care of gridlock, cut housing prices, raise wages for citizens if we just had citizens and legal immigrants, people who have legally come into this country, and if we didn't, try to become the magnet destination for illegals in the country. And Inslee talked about sanctuary.
While other places close their borders and fear the unfamiliar, we are the state that opens our communities to immigrants and refugees seeking safety, shelter, and sanctuary.
So, to illegals. So, citizens of this state have to all get an enhanced driver's license. They can go to the airport because you give driver's licenses to illegals. We pay billions and billions of dollars a year to feed, house, provide all kinds of services for illegals. We're the fifth biggest population of illegals of any state in the United States. It costs us billions. It helps gridlock our roads. And here in King County, we could take care of gridlock if we could somehow find a way to reduce the number of illegals who are here. Legal immigrants, I am a full endorser of supporting people who come to this country legally to cut a better life for their families. Love that, as my grandparents did through Ellis Island, legally. That's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. And if you weren't listening 90 minutes ago, number one could be around at the end of the year for best audio of the year. It's coming up. Okay, I can't dilly-dally because our number one audio is my favorite audio clip of the year so far. So, let's get to our favorite audio of the day.
This is Doring Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash, and we'll just do a top two. I don't even know how to do this first one, though. Nicole just found this and handed me the story about police who found some stolen watches, and I hope they explain it in the news story better than I ever could.
Number two.
Brought the defendant back to the room, went to use the bathroom, and when he came out, he noticed that his Crown Royal bag containing five high luxury watches valued at $108,000 were missing. Questioned the defendant about the missing bag, and the defendant opened the hotel door and ran out. She was subsequently taken into custody. And in the course of taking the defendant into custody, when she was being processed, the watch was secreted in the vaginal area.
That's where she hid the watches. Number one in our awesome audio, there's a Sirius XM radio host named David Webb. And he was talking about how he doesn't consider race when he applies for jobs or hires people. because he doesn't think skin color should matter. He hit on a CNN analyst named Areva Martin. And, oh, she was outraged at the white privilege of this host, which led to a fantastic radio moment.
Number one.
Shouldn't their requirement, their primary requirement, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of network, be that they are capable of covering politics? For instance, if you're going to cover political campaigns, sports may not be the most qualified background. And that brings to the point of, if people want to get into these fields, regardless of color, I've chosen to cross different parts of the media world, done the work so that I'm qualified to be in each one. I never considered my color the issue. I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get into.
Areva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay, then.
You went to white privilege. This is the falsehood in this. You went immediately with an assumption. Your people, obviously, or you didn't look. You're talking to a black man who started out in rock radio in Boston, who crossed the paths into hip-hop, rebuilding one of the greatest black stations in America, and went on to work for Fox News, where I'm told apparently blacks aren't supposed to work, but yet you come with this assumption and you go to white privilege.
David,
that's actually insulting.
It is, and I apologize because my people gave me wrong information. They told me the whole white privilege thing is insulting.
David,
can I apologize and correct the record?
Her people gave her wrong information. She corrects the record. You are black. Today's Side Next.
And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day.
Before we head out of here, we still have a lot more to do with today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. I wonder if woke college students understand how despicable they sound at times. A few days ago, a 22-year-old police officer, just brand new to the force, down in Davis, California, Natalie Corona, was gunned down. Natalie had earlier, a couple of years ago, knowing that she wanted to be a cop, she posed for a series of photographs, and she posts them on Facebook, and it showed her wearing a royal blue gown and holding a thin blue line flag. And what she wrote on Facebook with those photos, "I would like this photograph to serve as my gratitude for all of those law enforcement men and women who have served, who are currently serving, and those who have died in the line of duty protecting our liberties in this great country." 2 years ago, before she became a cop. Well, January 11th, just 4 days ago, Officer Corona was responding to a car crash, and she was gunned down in that incident. And so people found this 2-year-old photo of what was then a 20-year-old young woman, holding a thin blue line flag. And she was honoring cops who were killed in the line of duty. And everyone said, man, this is beautiful. And so after Officer Corona was killed 4 days ago, people started circulating that photo again. So a beautiful statement about a young woman who was living her passion, gave her life in the line of duty, and had such great deep respect for fallen officers. Well, a group of students at the University of Cal Davis, they say the photograph is racist, and they are demanding that people cease and desist circulating the image. The Associated Students UC Davis Ethnic and Cultural Affairs Commission wrote on their Facebook page, "The flag is blatantly anti-black and disrespectful. We see it as necessary to call out all community members who continue to post and disseminate images of the Blue Lives Matter flag online. We would like to directly address that this flag represents an attempt by law enforcement to undermine the Black Lives Matter movement." And they said that if students who saw that photo and were, quote, triggered by this event and the circulating images of a flag, they have offered to provide help. They wrote, "Flashing lights, sirens, and increased police presence can be triggering to many black and brown people." And so, as one commentator said, "The slander and smears perpetuated by the feeble-minded social justice snowflakes at Cal Davis must be addressed." And then went on to point out, the thin blue line flag, it doesn't stand for racism or bigotry. It stands for the sacrifice that American law enforcement officers make every single day. Todd Starnes wrote this. And so, again, college students in an attempt to be woke social justice warriors, all they reveal is their own ignorance and their own hatred. They claim to condemn hatred, but man, talk about some of the most hateful people around. Today's signed story number two, a guy named Ronald Jenkins, he went to a KFC and he didn't like what he saw. He gave the cashier his money at the drive-through window, and then, after touching the money, she didn't put on the plastic gloves that are required at a fast food joint. She didn't have on a hairnet, and she was just putting the food in the box. So, as happens in 2019, he started recording it.
"Now, she just got through taking our money, giving us our drinks. Now, she's fixing the food with no hairnet, with nothing on. Look at her hand all everywhere. And she just took our money and receipts. She's been serving them. Wow." She started fixing them. She started recording.
What is your recording?
"Whatever I wish. It's in America, remember? You forgot where you live? You live in the United States of America. You live in the United States of America. Recording you fixing food with no gloves, no nothing on. Just take my money."
So then she comes with his bag of food, and she swings it into his face as hard as she can.
"Get your food.
So she chipped one of his teeth. She knocked off his glasses. He talked to, this is down in Jacksonville, Florida, and Ronald Jenkins talked to the TV station there.
"And she didn't throw it. She actually swung it and hit me in the face with it, basically. It wasn't a throw. It was a backhand pow. Take your food back."
Backhand pow, and here are his injuries.
"And my cell phone hit me in the mouth, and it damaged my tooth, and my glasses fell off. My tooth was bleeding. And I went in there, and I told the manager, she gave me a refund."
It turns out, yeah, got a refund. It turns out the cashier has been arrested for battery, and he says, "Here's why I recorded it. It was so unsanitary."
"She turned around and started putting the white sleeves in the boxes and rubbing them down with her hands, with no gloves on, no hairnet, and handling nasty money. So I said, well, I want to record this because I want to take it back in there, show the manager, and explain to them that I don't want this order."
So he did get his refund, and 30-year-old Shade Simmons has been arrested and charged with battery in the incident. Today's sign story number final. So it's interesting that while the shutdown is happening in government, 30 Democrat politicians are down in Puerto Rico with about 100 lobbyists. They were flown on a private jet. They have been put up in the ritziest of accommodations. There are 109 lobbyists and corporate executives. They were going to see the hit Broadway show Hamilton together. They have three parties that they're going to attend, including one with the show's cast. And they built in plenty of free time for the members of Congress and their families to just enjoy this trip to Puerto Rico. So while government workers are on furlough and not getting paid, Democrats are getting wined and dined by lobbyists and corporate executives. And by the way, this is why I support the fair tax, which would be a national sales tax. Get rid of the income tax altogether. Get rid of lobbyist influence in government. Just get government back to governing for the people instead of for the people who give them fancy trips. I'll give you another example of this. When the wildfires were raging in California, we are just finding out a group of California lawmakers took a trip to Hawaii. The junket was set up by representatives from utility companies because the utility companies were getting blamed for their power lines causing these fires. The executives and representatives and lobbyists for utility companies took a bunch of California lawmakers to Hawaii to lobby them for limited liability for their companies when all the costs of the wildfires were tallied. And they're now calling the 12 politicians who went the Wailea 12, who received more than $600,000 from the utilities in campaign contributions and are on key committees deciding the fate of legislation determining who pays for the wildfires. But they're all dedicated public servants, right?
Tiny bubbles.
I'm out of time. I'll tell you the story about when I sang Tiny Bubbles with Don Ho on my show. But I have no time for that today. Because I have to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'm going to go home, think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's big show. County Mike and Todd coming up next. We'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon. And I'm
feeling that I'm going to love you till the end of time. Tiny bubble,
ooh, I'll
leave you. And the wine,
Ikabaina,
make me happy.
I'll have
a way. Make me feel fine.
Wait a minute, I'm not finished. I'm not finished, fake news.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.